You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOn.com NBA website. It'll bring you right to all the NBA, NFL, MLB, and college podcasts that are around the Locked On Network. So many great hosts bringing you so much great content. Make sure to check out the website. Today, we're going to be previewing the Nuggets on the show. They're playing the Timberwolves tonight. It's another home game for the Timberwolves. Hopefully, they can have a little more success at home than they did against the Grizzlies on Sunday. And I couldn't think of anybody better than the host of the Locked On Nuggets podcast. He also manages the Denver Stiffs for SB Nation. Adam, thank you so much for joining the show again.
Thanks for having me on.
We haven't talked, I believe, since Summer League. And obviously, Summer League, you're just getting psyched about the new guys on your roster. You're just getting pumped for the next NBA season. It's been like a month without basketball, and us crazy NBA fiends are already scratching our arms, hoping for that next fix of NBA action. And so, Summer League, everything's kind of jaded. Everybody's kind of super hopeful about the rosters. What has been the result after a few weeks of NBA action for the Nuggets? What have you thought of this team? How do they compare to last year? It's kind of the same roster coming in, a lot of the same guys, a lot of the same faces. Is there any difference? What is that difference, if so?
Well, the thing about the Nuggets season so far is that it has been basically cut in half, with the first 10 games being incredibly optimistic. The Nuggets were 9-1. They had won some tough games. They looked great. They looked as good or better than any Nuggets fan could have hoped for during that stretch. But now they've lost six of their last seven. So all that momentum that they built to be the number one team through 10 games has completely dissipated as they've fallen apart, largely as they've hit a tough patch. I mean, they played Milwaukee twice. They played New Orleans, Houston after Houston started to get rolling. So it's been some good teams that they've lost to. But they're coming into this game pretty desperate for a win, having lost six of seven. As you mentioned, it's a pretty similar roster to what it was last year. Will Barton, who is sort of the glue guy on the Nuggets roster, was hurt in the second half of game two. And his loss, I think, is really starting to be felt over this last couple stretch of games, as they've just needed another scoring option. But I would say the storyline for the Nuggets right now is just that they are a team that is in desperate need of sort of a statement win. And what better one would there be than returning to the scene of last year's crime against the Minnesota Timberwolves at Target Center? I think this is a big game for Denver.
Yeah, a little bit of a revenge factor there as well. And I think when you're looking, well, first of all, when you're looking at the Nuggets, it's really a bummer that they can't seem to shake these injuries to key guys and kind of come after a season with a healthy roster. You look at last season, they have Paul Millsap go out early. This season, Will Barton, after signing that big contract over the summer, goes out early. Is there any hope that some of the young guys, I'm thinking about Porter, but any young guys specifically, can they maybe play into a bigger role on this roster to help compensate for some of that injury?
Well, first of all, just to kind of pull on that thread even more, last year I think the starting lineup for Denver played like seven games together because Millsap was out for most of the year. Then when he returned, Gary Harris got injured and was out for the rest of the season. So it's ridiculous, the injury luck that Denver runs into, it seems, every year. But you talked about young guys replacing them. There's two guys that have really been good this season. Young guys who have played three guys who have really surprised. Monte Morris being the first one. He might be Denver's best point guard. And Jamal Murray, a better player, but, you know, he's more of a combo guard than anything. He can handle the ball a little bit, but he's really struggled with the point guarding aspect of the game, and Denver really needs that. Monte Morris led the league in assist-to-turnover ratio as recently as two games ago, and I suspect he probably still leads the league even after two sort of not bad games but mediocre games. Juancho Hernan Gomez missed basically all of last season because he got mono, of all things. He's been back in the rotation this year and has been really good. He's shooting 44% from the three-point line. He's actually starting in Will Barton's place. Just a great cutter, not a great defender, And Denver has been susceptible to teams that have wings that can really go off. But he's been a good shooting the ball. Then Malik Beasley has had a smaller role for Denver. But same thing, last year he hardly got any opportunities, I think fewer than 500 minutes total last season. This year he's a main piece of the rotation off of the bench, and he's been pretty solid. I think for him, he's a guy that has figured out how not to make mistakes. And sometimes when you're young, I think not making mistakes is as important as making big plays. So those three guys have broken into the rotation and have been very solid for Denver so far.
So before we get into some of these matchups here, some of the stats for the Nuggets, just you bring up some of the injury history of the Nuggets last year going into this year. Has there been any growing pains? Obviously, a lot of these guys are returning from last year to this year, and I've heard plenty of people who cover basketball, cover the Nuggets, talk about even though the Nuggets don't really have a great cap situation, they've got a lot of young players, they've got a lot of chemistry that they're building on because they're bringing back so many guys. Has there been any growing pains just because all the starters haven't really played a bulk of minutes together, and so there is still maybe some learning curve there with some of the guys still playing some of that first those first double-digit games together as a unit? Or has this thing been cruising? I know you talked about the skid, but for the most part, has this thing been cruising kind of better than expected or as good as you hoped?
You know, it's not – I don't think it – there are growing pains, but I don't think they have to do with chemistry necessarily, because mm-hmm. the guys have – it's one guy goes out, another guy comes in, but in aggregate, you know, everybody is familiar with each other and knows each other's spots on the court. The growing pains, I think, are similar to what Minnesota is going through this year, especially with Towns and Wiggins. Towns and Jokic, I think, are always going to be tied to each other, because I think from a talent perspective, they are both top 20 players in the NBA. They're just that good, and at their best, they're mm-hmm. dominant MVP caliber players. But both guys are learning, in my opinion, some of the other things that come along with being a great player: the leadership, the backbone, the being able to take criticism, the ability to kind of fight through slumps and different things. And for Jokic, you know, he has really struggled in fourth quarters this year, especially over this last 7 or 8 game stretch. I think he has just 3 field goals in the fourth quarter over his last 40 minutes of fourth quarter play. So it's things like that where those are the kind of the lessons that are happening right now. The veterans on this team outside of Paul Millsap are largely gone. So you have a young team that is now learning what it looks like and what it feels like when everybody's looking to you to be the one to calm a losing streak or a run. And, you know, they're handling that to mixed results. I would say right now they're still in the learning process on that front. So to me, that's really more of where the struggle has been for Denver.
And I think that's a perfect tie-in to get into some of these matchups here, because I think you're absolutely right. I do think that Towns and Jokic, very similar type of players. You see the versatility they both have, and both kind of still reaching a ceiling that a lot of people are hoping for, but not quite there yet. Still maybe not every bit the leader that people want them to be on their respective teams. I know that they're, as far as leadership goes and leading the roster, there's still some stuff there that Towns is leaving on the table. I know a lot of people think as far as in the locker room and on the court, but now these guys are clashing yet again, and just as far as product on the court, it should be a fantastic game. We're going to get into all of that, but first a quick break for some sponsors. The Denver Nuggets and the Timberwolves are meeting again in the Target Center, reliving some of the action that finished out last season to send one team home and one team to the playoffs. Now, Adam is here, host of the Locked On Nuggets, breaking it all down with me. Adam, if you're looking at this game, obviously we've kind of outlined the importance of it for both teams. Minnesota can't seem to find a win on the road, so winning at home is crucial, and the Denver Nuggets have been on a bit of a skid, and now they're looking for a much-needed victory. Who are you looking in this game outside of Jokic, the superstar, to kind of set up the Nuggets for a victory? Who needs to have the hot hand in this one against Minnesota?
I think Jamal Murray is a guy that has really struggled most for Denver over the last, you know, 8 games or so. And he's a guy that if he wins his matchup, especially against Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague, you know, sort of the both point guards, then I think Denver is looking really, really nice. But the problem is Jamal Murray is a guy who can score 48 points as he did against the Boston Celtics. But he's also a guy that's shooting, you know, 30% on wide open three-pointers this year for whatever reason. So he's been in a bit of a slump. When he is scoring well, especially early, it feels like Denver's offense really opens up and they get in a nice groove. So he's the guy that I think would be, from Denver's perspective, sort of an X factor in this game, especially since Gary Harris, who's sort of the team's second best player and offensively the most consistently good player, he's been banged up and just has not looked like himself for the last 7 or 8 games. And so I don't know how much Denver can expect from him. I think he's a guy that needs a week off. But unfortunately, they can't afford it at the moment. So Jamal Murray is the X factor from Denver's perspective.
And kind of going along with that theme, I think that guard play is going to be huge for the Timberwolves as well. I know that Jokic and Towns kind of draw all the headlines in a matchup like this. But I think how Derrick Rose and how Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones, how they push the pace of the game here for the Timberwolves will be crucial against the Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets, looking at their defensive rating, a lot better than they were last year. 23rd last year in the NBA. This year, they're 7th in defensive rating with a 105.2 mark. And I know you can't glean everything from stats, but this team is doing a better job at slowing teams down. Watching a few of their games, they've done a better job kind of forcing teams into half court. And if you get the Timberwolves to play consistent half-court basketball, that's how you get them to lose. Keeping them under 100 and keeping them slowed down is how they get them to lose. And do you think that the Nuggets are going to be able to accomplish kind of grinding down the Timberwolves' offense here in this one?
You know, I think so. There's one sort of variable that I really could see coming into play in this game, and that is foul trouble. Minnesota, good at that, especially Towns, good at getting to the line. And Denver, it's funny, I was talking to a Minnesota friend of mine, David Naylor, and he was talking about my prediction for this game was that I think Michael Malone gets ejected. And it's funny, Denver has, they've lost, you know, fair and square. This isn't like a complaint about unfairness of referees or anything, but they got a tough whistle in the New Orleans game and then had a couple tough whistles down the stretch of the Milwaukee one. And Malone received techs in both games. And you can see it sort of boiling to the surface that I would not be surprised if this was a game where if Jokic or Millsap got in foul trouble early, that Malone would try to make some sort of statement and get thrown out of this one. But foul trouble to me is the big thing. Denver has been great, as you mentioned, at slowing teams down. I think it's twofold. One, they're a very good offensive rebounding team, so teams have to send an extra guy to the defensive glass just to keep them from getting second chance points. Denver right now 2nd in the league in offensive rebound percentage. So there's that. But also I think they just have really emphasized floor balance in transition and getting guys back, sending guys back. So I think Denver should be successful at slowing this game down, but that does not mean that they're going to be successful in slowing Minnesota down, especially if Towns can draw a couple of early fouls.
And then kind of on the same lines of offense and fast pace, fast starts have been crucial for the Timberwolves. They are so much better when they get out to an early lead, when they look good in the first quarter, in the first half. I know that can kind of be an obvious statement, but this is one of those teams where it just feels like playing behind the eight ball just doesn't seem to work for the Timberwolves. They need to get out quickly because they're going to give away a lead at some point in these games. And so having a 10-point lead is crucial because there's going to be a point in the second quarter or the third quarter where they're going to let you go on a run. And so getting that advantage early is big for the Timberwolves. Is that also going to be key for the Nuggets as well? Because to get on top of the Timberwolves and then expect that third quarter run, is that something that the Nuggets offense is going to be able to generate? I know they've had some rough road losses here, but are they going to be able to generate something in the third quarter that the Timberwolves should look out for? And is that going to be kind of played off of how they play in the first half?
Denver has gotten off to some really big leads in first quarters as well. And I was just looking at first quarter net rating, both teams very good at it. But so Denver's gotten off to big leads, but I almost like it better when they play well, but it's close going into the half because Denver has blown some really big leads. And this is another thing I talk about I think Denver is a top six or seven most talented team in the NBA, but they're still young and still learning a lot of these lessons. And one of those lessons is, how do you not blow a 17-point lead? How do you play with the same sense of urgency when you're up 17 as you do when the game first starts? Denver's really struggled with that. So from my perspective, if Denver were to get off to an early lead, I would not be necessarily any more confident than if they went into the half down 5 points. That's just kind of the style that with which they've played throughout the entire season.
Before we get into some predictions here, the Timberwolves, they have some new faces. I know the Denver Nuggets rolling back a lot of the same guys, but the Timberwolves have a pretty new look here. From the Nuggets perspective, which is the bigger impact? Not having Jimmy Butler there, a guy who really played well against the Nuggets last year for the Timberwolves, or having Covington and Sarge there to space the floor for Towns against the Nuggets defense? Which is going to be the bigger impact?
If Sarge and Towns can knock down shots, and really just the wing forwards, the small forward and power forwards can knock down shots, then I think Minnesota's odds go way up in this game, because Paul Millsap is such a big part of Denver's defense. I mean, he really should be a defensive player of the year candidate, because you look at Denver defensively, that's been one of the best teams in the league this year. Nobody saw that coming. The only difference really is that you add Paul Millsap to the mix. So he needs to be a good help side guy. And if you have guys shooting threes and knocking them down, it really takes away a lot of the teeth of what Denver does. Mirotić had a very good game in that New Orleans one, and it's one of those. He's one of those guys that can drag Millsap out of help side. So for me, it really comes down to if those guys can knock down shots. If they can't, and they can't punish Denver for sort of using Millsap as a roamer, then I think Denver's going to stop him in the half court.
All right, so let's get into some predictions here. Typically for the Timberwolves this year, if you can keep them under 100, then usually they're in trouble. Do you anticipate the Nuggets being able to do so? And what's kind of the range of points you need for them to score to feel comfortable about a victory? What do you need to see from them to see an end result of a victory?
I think if Denver holds them below 100 points, then Denver will win this game. Their offense has started to come around. They've looked really good offensively, I'd say, over the last four or five games, even though they've been losing these But that's because their defense has fallen off. So I'm with you. If they hold them under 100, I'd feel good about it. But overall, I don't know if that's possible. Because of what I said, it's going to be very difficult for Denver to defend this game and this team at a high level without fouling. And Towns is just a guy who is very good at drawing fouls.
And for the Timberwolves, too, this is a game, I think, where you really need to flex from outside, from the three-point line. They start out really well, averaging 31 three-point attempts per game or in the first couple weeks of the season. There's been a little bit of regression. They're averaging 29.6 three-point attempts per game. You don't want to see that number drop anymore, in my opinion. If you're the Timberwolves, you're desperate to your only defense really is steals, turnovers, and then making a team pay via those turnovers. So you need to be able to hit outside shots. You need to be able to space the floor still, because you're going to need to score a lot of points. If I'm looking at the Timberwolves, the thing I'm most concerned about is the outside defense and the perimeter defense for the Nuggets kind of getting in the Timberwolves' heads early, because this is a game where they really need to throw up about 35 threes and knock down about 40-45% of them.
The trick for that, to me, that's more of a result of a good process. And for me, where Denver struggles on the perimeter is containment. So guys like Derrick Rose, I think, can have big nights because Denver just really struggles with quick guards off of the dribble. Teague even have a big night just collapsing the defense. And so for me, the knockdown shots is really the result of a team that has been able to collapse Denver's defense from the perimeter. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris banged up, but Jamal Murray's slow on his feet defensively. So if you can get around those guys, then I think you'll create good looks, and your odds of knocking them down are significantly better.
As somebody who covers the Nuggets, when you're looking at the Timberwolves, because there's been a lot of with Derrick Rose playing so well and Jeff Teague with some injury, he's been out of the lineup. There's been some back and forth about trying to trade Teague, and I talked about this on the show yesterday, defending Teague. He's seventh in the NBA in assists per game right now. But if you're the Denver Nuggets, and I know they play a lot of two-point guard sets now for the Timberwolves, so as far as who's controlling the offense with the three-point guards that the Timberwolves have, which one concerns you the most? Which one do you want to see control the offense and control the offensive pace the least of the Timberwolves guards?
It's tough. Tyus Jones would scare me the least, I think, and I love his game. I'm a big Tyus Jones fan, but I think Derrick Rose and Teague are good at the things that Denver are not good at, and that's that first step. Once you get around Denver's defense on the perimeter with that first step, they tend to give up great shots, either shots in the paint or shots kicked out for the three-point line. So I would worry. I would say number one, Derrick Rose, because I think he's probably the most dynamic just in terms of getting past that first line of defense. But Jeff Teague, also very good at this, and both of those guys concern me from that standpoint.
Yeah, Tyus Jones is great. He just hasn't figured out how to really build offense for himself off of the playmaking that he's already been able to produce. He's still, even though he's only averaging 18 minutes per game, if you look at players who are out on the court at least 15 minutes per game, he's still a top 20 guard in turnover to assist ratio. He's still very careful with the basketball, still averages a lot of steals, but he doesn't know, he still hasn't figured out how to produce offense of his own yet. And if you're looking at Teague, there's a lot of times where he can kind of get caught up in the half court basketball, and you don't want a ton of that. You don't want a heavy dose of half court basketball for the Timberwolves. I'm glad that they've broken out and are playing more 2-point guard kind of lineups, but I think it's really crucial this game especially to have the Timberwolves put the ball in Derrick Rose's hands for this game, because I do think to win this one, they're going to have to score like 125, because like you said, the Timberwolves lose this game if they score under 100, but just because they top 100 doesn't mean they necessarily win, because the Nuggets offense has been really, really electric plenty of times this season.
Yeah, and Tyus Jones and Monte Morris, I think, are almost identical players, different, slightly different body types, but both small, undersized, skinny. Both great assist to turnover ratios, high basketball IQ, but limited maybe sort of in their one-on-one games. So as you watch Monte Morris tonight, I think kind of keep an eye on that, because they're very similar. And I like both guys a lot. I take them on my team any day, but I think the Denver Nuggets are specifically vulnerable to quick guards and quick scoring guards. Russell Westbrook's probably averaging 50, 20, and 10 against Denver over the last 3 or 4 years. So those types of guys that can get past the first line of defense really, really punish Denver.
Before we head out here, we're reaching that 20 game mark where everybody says you know everything you need to know about your team in 20 games, which of course, because there's 82 games, why even play the rest of the 82? You know everything you need to know after 20, right? Is there something before we head out here for Timberwolves Nation? Is there something on this Denver Nuggets team that you've learned through this season that you didn't necessarily know or weren't sure of heading into it?
For the Timberwolves?
For the Nuggets or the Timberwolves, either one, whichever one, go ahead and take your pick.
No, the only thing I think is the defense has been so consistently good that, they're seventh in defensive rating right now, despite playing a lot of the good offensive teams. I mean, the Bucks twice, like I said, New Orleans, Houston. So they played a good offensive schedule, and their defense has been consistently good. So I think at this point, I feel confident saying that they will be a top 15 defensive team. I know both Denver and Minnesota last year so bad defensively that a lot of people wrote them off and saying, oh, they'll never be good on that end of the floor. Well, Denver has pretty consistently been good on that end of the floor. So I think I feel at least confident going forward saying that they'll be a top half of the defensive rating ranking this year.
Fantastic. Anything you'd like to plug before we head out here, Adam?
No, that's it. I mean, denverstiffs.com if you want to check out anything on the Nuggets specifically, but other than that, we're good.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Adam, for joining the show, and thank you everyone for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.